from your home for Mid-Season Classic and all the wrestling coverage we can stomach, semi-live from Studio B. This is View from the Bleachers. Hi, Dad.
Dad?
Hey, he's right next door. You can see him right there.
Hey.
Hey, Jay. I bet they're doing a great show, full of professionalism.
Are they live right now?
They will be live right now, 7 till 9.
Yeah, wow, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Nice shameless plug.
It's I got no shame. Yeah. He's awesome. So yeah, I would listen to his show. And I do, actually. Yeah. Nice to see you. How are you?
Sports?
No. No. We're going to talk about cool things that we see. That's all. It's a light sports week, so we're just going to skip.
There's some stuff.
Yeah, there's some stuff. You got stuff.
Well, what do I follow?
Oh, the NFL. Yeah, it's fair. What? Something happened? And what
well,
is
not
this
really
NFL?
Happened, but I mean, it's that part of the season where we're less than what? A month away?
We are absolutely less than a month away from the Hall of Fame game. Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah. So all the big leagues, all the big, you know, the ESPNs, the NFL.
I've heard of them,
you know,
yeah.
This is the time they kind of, because they took like a 2-week break here the last 2 weeks.
There
was nothing. They were playing, the NFL Network was playing replays of games from 2017.
Admit it, though.
I did not watch.
Okay,
well,
I catch those occasionally.
No,
I'm like, oh man, that's
like,
right. That Buccaneers game from 2020 is once in a while. The NFL,
I mean,
books
it was
you,
a,
man, they do.
They did play the Minneapolis Miracle game.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I fast forwarded all the way to the end.
I was gonna say you didn't right until the end. I watched the other day. They were showing on the NFL Network the greatest wide receiver performances single game, and I got to watch the Randy Moss against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Yeah,
yeah, that was a great
three
game.
Catches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Three catches for like 160 yards and three touchdowns.
But, so,
so there is the NFL happening.
So they've kind of come back now this week, and as they do. As they all, you know, they know what to do because they got the format. They got the, you know, they figured it all out. You know, all of a sudden, all these, you know, supposed experts start posting all their lists. Their lists.
My list that I have.
Like
that
the top 10
my...
quarterbacks based
yeah,
on
100%,
executives and coaches voting.
It interested me.
And I think, and we'll just say it all right now, Jalen Hurts is at number 9. On that list, and it created so much controversy. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I bet you really in the big scheme, he was really voted in like a top 5, but they wanted something to talk about.
I mean, that makes sense to me, right? Because I read through that some of that list too, and there was, I mean, we can. It's on my thing. These lists of and the quarterback list is the most easy to dissect. It's the most we'll call it controversial because if you look at like the top wide receivers in the league, I can't really argue that Ja'Marr Chase is the best.
Yeah.
I can't argue that Justin Jefferson is the second best. Maybe I could argue on that list Tyreek Hill is
but
the third.
The thing with the a lot of those executives, they base it on numbers only.
Sure. Yep.
Basically. I mean, for the most part, the way I understood it, they base it on, you know, what your numbers have been or, you know, but...
I mean, we'll start with quarterbacks on that list because I do. It's the most important position in football, and football is the most popular sport in the whole universe. So, the number one quarterback in the league, number one is obviously Patrick Mahomes. According to this list, the lowest he's ever been ranked since he started as a quarterback is 4th. Last year, he was ranked number 1. They didn't win the Super Bowl. Last year, he had less weapons, we'll say, than he ever had in his career previously. And he still put up just a remarkable...
Crazy.
Just the numbers he put up last year is just overwhelmingly. He's clearly, like, if you were going to rank...
I mean, if put it this way, if he wasn't on KC, would they have gotten everything they've gotten up to this point?
No. If you replaced... say Patrick Mahomes with some of the quarterbacks, Mitchell Trubisky, that he was drafted along with, would Kansas City beat? No, absolutely not. No, he's amongst the greatest draft picks of all time and definitely clearly the best quarterback in the league. I don't think that then from there it gets a little foggy.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's number 2.
Yep.
And of course, I make arguments against quarterbacks being great because they don't win. Unfortunately, on this list, besides Jalen Hurts, there isn't a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl on this entire that I can see, right? Like Joe Burrow.
Well, there is one on the list.
Who was it?
Jalen Hurts.
Besides Jalen Hurts, I don't know a quarterback in this top 10 that has won a Super Bowl.
Stafford.
Oh, that's right. Matthew Stafford, for me, will forever be a forgotten Hall of Famer.
Because Detroit Lion.
He played for the Lions for so long that I just forgot about
Jared
him.
Goff.
Jared Goff is a top 10. He is a top 10. He's
number 8.
Did he win a Super Bowl?
Then he got that one year with
the Rams. That's right. Okay. Because Joe Burrow's ranked number 3.
Right.
And there's something. Joe Burrow is now at a point in his career.
You better put up or shut up.
That's exactly right. Because he's got more arm talent, right, than probably any quarterback who's ever entered the league. He can chuck the ball like nobody's business. But he's injury prone, which is, they used to say he had a bad offensive line, so he kept getting hurt. But maybe you just keep getting hurt. Maybe you're not. Maybe these little injuries that you get have added up to him not performing, because he's missed a ton of time. Like a ton of time. He threw 4,900 yards, 43 touchdowns.
He's missed time in every season except for that first year they went to the AFC.
Yes. No. 100%. He has. He has missed 4 games here, 5 games here, 8 games here. But his team hasn't won anything, which, when you are amongst
except
the highest...
Except for that first year.
Right.
And they went downhill from that.
Correct.
So, may I ask you a quick question with Cincinnati Bengals? Are they slowly becoming that dysfunctional team?
Yeah, back to that dysfunctional team. You remember a time back early 90s, like in the Boomer Esiaias, and I can't believe Icky Woods, right? Like,
they had talent.
In a time
but they were just...
before the NFL Network, in a time before ESPN... The Cincinnati Bengals were
kind of a laughing
stock. Joke.
Yeah.
They were what the Clippers were in the what the Browns are now. They were an embarrassing team that had been to Super Bowls and been blown out of them, but just operated
weird,
cheap. They operated poorly.
Yes. Yep. I mean, and because they're still waiting on
two. They have. Well, this is a nice little sidetrack. We'll talk about the Bengals for a little bit. The Cincinnati Bengals have done something this offseason that you wouldn't think is possible in the modern NFL.
They signed two receivers.
They signed their two wide receivers to incredibly high-paid contracts, which you have to do. They have to have one, right? Like, if you have a... Argument says if you have Ja'Marr Chase, you don't need T. Higgins.
Because T. Higgins could be at number one just about anywhere
else. If you have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, or and T. Higgins, you don't need Ja'Marr Chase. If you have... You know, two of the three, you don't need the third one. So instead, they've got really paid a bunch of money to their offense. They drafted, and they should have, a rush linebacker, an outside linebacker with their first-round pick, which is something most teams do frequently. You draft a guy, you sign him pretty quickly because it's a fairly standard contract for a first-round pick who was drafted. Shamar Stewart was the draft pick we're talking about.
We can talk about that one later, too.
He was drafted 18th overall by... So you just sign the guy. Instead, the Bengals tried to cheapen around with contract language.
Because what's his name is a holdout.
Because
at this
their
point.
Best defensive player, a guy one by the name of Trey Hendrickson, who is one of the best defensive ends in football. He had 18 sacks last year. He had 17 the year before.
Right.
He's the wrong side of 30, unfortunately. He's a 31-year-old defensive end who's looking for a new contract.
But still.
The Bengals don't have that much talent. They have to sign guys like that.
Because their defense is horrible.
They are looking at trying to score 55 points a game and hope that their defense only gives up 50.
Yep.
Otherwise, why do you sign the highest paid quarterback and highest paid wide receiver in the game if you're not trying to win games? And if you're trying to win games, you sign your defensive players. Yeah, the Cincinnati Bengals.
You got to balance it all out.
There has to be somebody.
They're trying to make people happy there. I don't know.
It's an oddity.
And their 18th pick or their first round pick.
Their first round pick, Shamar Stewart, is now so disgusted. He's so unenamored by the process that is in front of him.
He's going back to college.
Probably,
he's just got to file for a waiver or an exception.
Because
and
he's got a year left of eligibility, at least one or two, where he's just decided, and you know what, I'm going to go back to Texas A&M. I bet Texas A&M is thrilled, or whoever gets him.
NIL.
Thrilled with the NIL. There's money out there for him. He would make more money as a returning junior or senior linebacker to whomever will take him than he would as a first-round pick. Yeah, the Bengals are a mess. So, yes, to answer your question,
yes,
they're falling
quickly
back.
That's too bad.
I mean, I'm be nice if you're every other team in their division, right? Yeah. It'd be nice if the Bears could return to being the Bears. That would help me out as a Packer fan.
I don't think it's going to happen.
So you run through the list. Lamar Jackson, I feel like, is ranked fourth, and there's no reason he shouldn't be higher on this list. As the fourth best.
But he doesn't have a Super Bowl.
None of these other guys besides the guy on the top of this list also have a Super Bowl.
Jaden Daniels is number five.
That's a big... That I mean...
He wasn't even... Obviously, he's a rookie.
I watched him last year do what Michael Vick did to the league in his first year. It's the athleticism combined with quarterback skills. Yeah, he's as good as Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
He's got the same track. He's got the same...
He's not built as...
Correct.
You know... But speaking of Jaden,
sure,
and the Washington Commanders,
yeah, buddy,
they're supposed to sign and get an extension to one of their star players.
Oh, Terry McLaurin. They're getting his number one wide receiver.
The process from the interview, either yesterday or whatever, he's really disappointed and frustrated because it's not happening. This is a guy,
okay,
that's been there for 6 years.
Yeah.
When Dan Snyder and the revolving door of the quarterbacks was.
Yeah. The best quarterback he saw before this was Kirk Cousins.
He never said anything. Nope. He never complained. Mm-mm. He went out there and just balled out.
Yeah.
Year after year. Last year, he was Jaden Daniels. I mean, his safety net.
I watched games where Terry McLaurin, as their number one, he caught a lot of deep balls, man. He caught a lot of those. They call them 50-50 balls, right?
Yep.
You just throw them up there, and you hope that your athletic guy is better than their athletic guy.
And he usually was.
He usually was.
But he was that reliable guy that he trusted. That's the biggest thing is trust.
Well,
and they haven't signed his new contract. And he's really...
Now when you're talking... Well, the problem has become... You're looking at how high paid these wide receivers have become.
Yeah.
Is Terry McLaurin as good as Justin Jefferson? No. Is he as good as Ja'Marr Chase? No. Is he as good as Stephon Diggs? Probably yes, right?
Yeah,
so there's your range, right? Like Ja'Marr Chase set the bar at $40 million a year this year. Justin Jefferson is making $38 million a year. Terry McLaurin would like to get that $35 million, but it's a really similar situation to what happened with Jordan Love and the Packers. Jordan Love wasn't the best quarterback, but you got to pay him like he is because eventually the market...
Yeah,
because Jordan Love was the highest paid quarterback in football for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So whatever you pay Terry McLaurin, same thing.
Yeah,
he might be overpaid for a year.
But next year, you'll be happy.
When somebody else sets the market again, all of a sudden now he's the fifth highest paid wide receiver. And that probably matches up with his talent. And if you're Washington.
But he's the number one in a lot of teams.
Yes, for every team except for probably the three that we just listed that have wide receivers better. Yeah. No, you need a guy like that. And if you're Washington, I feel like some teams posture. Some teams act like they're not going to do it, like the Cowboys, right? Like,
don't.
Like
the Cowboys just don't do it because he just doesn't want to do it.
But then inevitably, they do it, right? Like, they're going to pay.
Right, but they're going to suffer because of it.
CeeDee Lamb is now the highest paid wide receiver because Jerry Jones is a terrible GM. Dak Prescott, same thing. Micah Parsons, same thing.
It will be.
They will continue to reset the market because they're the Cowboys. But they're just like when the Browns paid $200 million, $50 million for Deshaun Watson, guaranteed.
Yeah, that was stupid, though.
Ultra stupid. But that's the outlier, is all the rest of the GMs looked around and said,
no.
Boy, that's real dumb. We're not going to be that guy. And that's been the case since then. So, for a guy like Terry McLaurin, they'll pay him. They will inevitably
have to
pay
if they
him.
Don't.
Right.
He's going to go someplace else.
Correct. And if you have a window with a rookie quarterback in the NFL to win a championship, it's a 5-year window.
Yeah.
It's up right until that quarterback makes 40, 50, and $60 million a year. You have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
So spend the money. Surround him with talent.
That top 10 list, Terry McLaurin is our honorable mention.
Sure. Well, I mean, when you look at the list of wide receivers, you could really mix, besides that top three, right? Like, I really think A.J. Brown is pretty much the same as Amon St. Brown.
Which they're ranked 5 and 6.
Correct. I can't really tell a difference between Malik Nabers and Nico Collins. I can't really...
But that's right there. I mean, Mike Evans.
Mike Evans, I think, for me, is underrated. Mike Evans has won me fantasy football championships on numerous occasions. And high rank, the numbers he puts up are just incredible. Also,
Garrett Wilson at number 10.
Did you see the numbers that he put up last year with some...
But
With some really not great quarterback play here and there. Yeah, Garrett Wilson just got paid too. He just made his money. He and Sauce Gardner became the new paid rookies. Basically, the Jets finally got one right. They paid some people.
Two
people right. Oofta. Way to go, the Jets, right?
It's the Jets.
J-E-T-S, they are terrible. That's pretty much, so there's your list, right? Like, they release a lot of these lists. Coming up later in that list is defensive ends and rush linebackers.
I see the list was in there,
They start to release them every other day because it gives people like me and you that time to chat about it, really dissect it, argue with our friends about why this guy's better than that guy.
But it makes it relevant.
It does. Like I said, they have done an incredible job, the NFL, over the last 15 years of keeping themselves in the news. Are you just watching clips of Mark Murphy talking? Oh, this is that draft thing. I love this clip. This I feel like this should start our show nearly every. This one where Mark Murphy turns into Vince McMahon announcing the first round pick of Matthew Golden.
No, that's not what it is.
Oh, it's a little different.
This is the NFL draft economic impact study release.
That sounds incredibly boring, and I am not interested.
According to the study, the impact of the draft on Brown County.
Sure.
$72.9 million.
Really? I can see that. That's every hotel room.
They said 600,000 people attended the event, the three-day event.
Not bad. That's good.
That's more than $50 million greater than the original projection of only $20 million.
Interesting. I wonder how they managed to pack that many people. Have you ever been to Green Bay? There's just not the room.
But they were all in the parking lot. They were giant tailgating.
Yeah.
Elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder.
All right, fair.
Because we have a mutual person, won't name and who it is, was there. And so that parking lot was packed. And all they do was watching it on the big jumbotrons and, on their phones and everything.
It sounds outrageously good.
Yeah, we tried to go.
That would have been well worth skipping work or getting fired.
Like Minnesota's getting 2029, I think.
Really?
I'm going to that one.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I will.
You will have to. Yeah, legally required. It's your team,
Statewide?
Yeah.
$104.7 million.
Okay.
Statewide for the impact.
I would imagine
Appleton and
cost a little bit of money, security, and I don't know, permit, whatever it might have cost to run the thing.
Hotels.
Sure.
You couldn't get anything within 2-hour radius of Green Bay. Nothing was open.
Interesting.
2 hours.
Huh.
So,
glad
there you go.
To not be in the hospitality industry of Green Bay that weekend. Good lord. Oofta.
Oofta, yeah.
that's two oofta's in a day. I think I'm oofted out.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Guy, when we do 7:23 and I'm drinking coffee, this is what you get. You get a lot of oofta. You get a lot of...
We got 10 minutes left. We're doing good.
No way. We are kicking butt.
You want to talk about your Brewers? What did you want to talk about last week you didn't get to?
We didn't get to a couple things. Let me get my notes.
Hey, listen to that. Paper shuffling and...
Yep. There it is.
Organization.
Okay. Well, the Brewers are... There was a time period of a couple months that went by where you would ask me about the Brewers.
Yep.
And I would say, eh. Then that was it.
Second now.
They are...
one game behind.
Yeah. They've been playing that thing where they win two games
one. Do the Brewers have a brand new... Like a new pitcher that just... Like the Miz? Or Miz?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Am I jumping in? No,
please do.
I was watching highlights.
Buddy, just the fact that you, as an extremely casual sports fan, could tell me the nickname of a Brewers starter.
That only started 5 games?
And the fact that you know he's only pitched 5 games.
Full disclosure.
Tell me more.
That's all I know, man. No, I've been listening. I listen to talk radio because I'm up really early in the morning.
Sure.
So on Sportsmanlike, I'm going to plug them.
Yeah, please do.
But they're on a 5.
Yes.
And I'm on my drive.
Yeah, yeah.
So I listen to those guys because I just never was.
There's
up
something
early
about
enough.
Listening to people crisp and awake at 5 a.m. when I'm just barely slogging into the day.
Pretty much. Yeah. But that's all I've been listening to. And then they talked about that because he was an alternate.
Yeah.
Yep. For the All-Star game tonight.
Last night was the All-Star game. Yep.
But he was a pitcher. And they were saying, okay, is it good or bad or is it wrong? And some people from Philly were kind of upset that he got the nod and none of the.
Yeah.
Well, apparently some of those guys that were kind of pissy about it.
Yeah.
They got an invitation, didn't want
to. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. No, this.
Yeah. So I listened to that morning.
You pretty much covered. Yeah. Jacob Mizorowski, a guy that we have talked about a couple times on this show because he was the number one Brewers pitching prospect, like number 10 pitching prospect, 30 pitching prospect in all of baseball. He's 6'6", throws the ball 100+, just whips it. He's awesome to watch. He came up with the Brewers. It was about a month ago. He's had 5 starts. He's had 4 incredibly great starts, including the last start he had. His 5th one was against the Dodgers on TV. He gave up a leadoff home run to Shohei Ohtani in the top of the first, which
can't
is
avoid that.
And then he spent the next 6 innings just striking everybody out. He had like 12 strikeouts in 6 innings. Dude throws gas. He's got the best fastball. But there was some kerfuffle about him making the All-Star game over other players. Last year, Paul Skeens, who's the starter this year, he's for the Pirates, was the Cy Young Award winner. He went to the All-Star game after only 11 starts. And nobody said a word because this Paul Skeens looks like and is the real deal.
Yeah.
Jacob Mizrowski is a Brewers pitcher who was not a first-round pick. He was a second-round pick. He hasn't had the hype train behind him for years.
Sure.
So he came up and he's pitched 5 games. And his numbers, you know, you stretch those out over, say, 12 starts instead of 5, like your regular.
Yeah.
He's a clear all-star. But so there was the talking heads who need time to fill on ESPN. And even the announcer during the game, like Mizrowski went up in the 8th inning, scoreless inning, threw 100 miles an hour. Like he got all 3 guys out as a 23-year-old. This should have been the highlight of his life. So Ken Rosenthal, the announcer for Fox, in his silly bow tie, comes up and asks Mizrowski a question like, did you know that some of the players didn't agree with whatever? And you could see the look in his eye, like he just wanted to give him the old blankety-blank look, but chose not to. He said, you know, kept a professional smile, like, this is just a great moment for me, yada, yada, yada. I don't know what others think. Yeah.
Go for him.
It was really, really silly to have controversy, considering it's an All-Star game. If you look at the list of people who have made the All-Star game, some of them are Hall of Famers. Other guys are just some guy.
Yeah.
And if you're Major League Baseball, it's a publicity event. This is an event to bring eyeballs to the seats.
What they were talking about when they're discussing this was the, you know, is this a good move or bad move? All of them were like, this is a great move.
Yes.
You know, showcase your new and up-and-comers, you know, and everything else.
Yeah. Put it because the Brewers had 2 All-Stars. They had 3 named. One named in Freddie Peralta. Trevor McGill, their closer, made the All-Star team also. He pitched well. He didn't give up any runs. And then Mizrowski was added later. Yeah, they were of the fact that this team is 53 wins or 56 wins
56.
At this point, they deserved more than one All-Star.
Yeah.
The problem is their offense doesn't feature anybody that blows you away. There's no MVPs. There's no Shohei Ohtani's. There's no Judge. There's no Aaron Judge on this Brewers roster. It's just filled with guys who are
just
all above average.
Sure.
They have guys. Boring with you with stats is what I do. But wins above replacement is a baseball stat. It describes the average baseball player. How better are you than the average baseball player? The Brewers feature like 8 guys that are between 1.5 and 2 wins above replacement. Aaron Judge is like 7 games above replacement by himself.
Jesus.
That's what it takes. So that's how the Brewers have won. So they had to feature. They deserve more than one All-Star, and they got 3. Okay. Freddie Peralta decided not to pitch in the All-Star game because he pitched in the game right before.
Yes.
On a Sunday, he pitched the Sunday game that my family got to go to.
Oh, nice.
It was they did everything. Once again, they got autographs. Former catcher Bill Castro and current Brewers legend Andrew Vaughn.
Were they running on the field?
They ran the bases.
Oh, nice.
They got to run the bases. They did everything. They got third row.
NFL won't let you do that.
No, you cannot go on the field. Major League Baseball is good like that. They've always done a great
job
of making it a family event, making you remember, you know, this is just hanging out at a baseball game.
Sure.
It's kind of nice like that. Yeah, they had a blast.
Yeah.
Once again, way to go. They won.
Sure.
They are, I believe we're now 4-1 as a family. Brewers games. So
nice.
That's that was a super fun weekend for them.
Their only game behind Chicago, looks like.
They just keep reeling them in. Yeah, that thing where they're winning 2 games, losing 2 games, playing .500 has been replaced by winning 3 out of 4, losing 2. Winning 3 out of 4, losing 2. The math has been playing out. They're slowly reeling in the Cubs.
They are right now in the last 10 games, they are 8-2.
And even in the last 30 games, they're like 22-7. I don't know if that adds up to 30. That math was no good. But
good job.
I'm trying, man.
That's why you talk.
The Brewers they're in the playoffs. Their playoff rotation of Freddie Peralta, Quentin Priester, Jacob Mizrowski, Carlos Quintana, and Brandon Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff coming back for them. is such a huge...
Well, you talked a couple months ago that they were all injured and nobody can... now that everybody's starting to come back healthy at the right time.
Aaron Ashby is a relief guy that has been out for a year and a half. He's their long guy. That guy can pitch two or three innings. D.L. Hall, a guy they picked up in a trade last year.
It's like NFL.
100%.
When you get hot at the right time.
Yes.
Timing is everything.
And you get hot with health, too. Like, you can't, in the NFL, it's a similar to trying to win games with your backup running backs. Eventually, you need that home run hitter.
Right.
Or trying to win, say, with your third string line. You've watched as a Vikings fan. What happens
What are you going to bring that into play
because
here?
Because you're a Vikings fan and you deserve the scorn.
You're a Packer fan and it ain't going to be any better for you.
No, not currently. No, it's not.
So,
but when you try to win games with your second and third stringers,
you can
win with Band-Aids and covering up and luck, but eventually you need that horse. You need that guy, or you have to draft that guy if you're the Vikings.
Or you have a really good backup, or in whatever the case is.
And when you're the Brewers, you don't have a good backup because you're not paying money like a lot of these teams with depth, like the Mets, the Yankees, the
depth
Cubs.
Or deep pockets.
Both. That buys depth. That's one thing about Major League Baseball that doesn't happen in any other – in football – is you can't stockpile with money in the NFL. Yeah. There is, if you're good, they'll find out. You can't keep a good guy on the practice squad. They'll sign him. They'll put you on that team.
Right.
Nope. In baseball, you can pay a little extra for mine. You can have guys in AAA or in backup positions making a couple mil. If you're the Brewers, you got what you got.
Yeah.
But what they got now is their health. So their hitters are
knock on wood.
Their hitters are average at best. above average at best. But none of them are great. Guys who had career years like Willem Contreras, not having a career year. Caleb Durbin, a guy who started out the year hitting well under 200 forever, is now a 260 hitter.
Mm-hmm.
That makes such a difference at the bottom of that lineup. So their lineup looks great. Their pitching depth is back. I can finally talk about them again because they, well, like I said, they win 8 out of 10 consistently.
Who's the Cubs, their manager?
It's a former Brewer. I think his name's Greg Crampsel. No, it's Craig Council. He's my favorite. I would like to hang out with him. He seems like a really fun guy. I just really don't
especially at Chicago. Especially in Chicago.
Yeah, he's very well. He's become. It's funny now. He's getting national exposure.
Yeah, you got 1 year to fix everything, and now here it is.
He's fixed it. Turns out, yeah.
Hey, you got a minute left.
No.
Yes.
Man. Okay. Well.
What else you got?
Man.
Back
that was it.
Notes. That was it.
I'm going through notes. We're clipping through. Here we go. The Bucks. Talk quick about the Bucks.
Why?
They're getting on the
Who's
buyout
market.
Never mind. We're not doing that.
Every time you do something about the Vikings, I'm just going to throw that out. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. All right. Fine. We're not going to talk about the
30 seconds.
Jelly Roll and Randy Orton are facing Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania.
Shut up.
Dude,
that's
I saw that on, believe it or not, ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah, performer Jelly Roll and one of my favorite wrestlers, because he's a wrestler now, is wrestling one of my least favorite people, Logan Paul, and a guy I've never heard of, Drew McIntyre. But
it's
what WWF does.
Yeah.
They have always, always, always brought in celebrities. That's
Five
so
seconds.
Cool. No way. This is a great show. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll do this again soon. Bye.